Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, February 27th, 2025. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 81, paragraph 2. Today's readers are Robin B. on the 12 steps, Cheryl S. will read the 12 traditions. Anne SCH will read the text, and our closing will be read by Margaret D. Janice PM is our backup reader. Chanel T will greet our newcomers, and Robin P will give announcements. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting, that's Wednesday, February 26th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, is 22,198, and this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting's share ID number is 22,205. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover. Through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Robin B. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. Thank you, moderator. This is Robin B., compulsive overeater in Ohio. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you so much, Robin B. I will now ask Cheryl S. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S., recovered in Nevada. The 12 traditions. Number one. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. from Nevada. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 81, paragraph 2. I will now ask Anne SCH to begin reading for us. Thank you so much, Anne.
Thank you, Jody. Good morning, everyone. This is Anne SCH calling in from BC, Canada. I'm a compulsive overeater recovered here in Canada. Today's paragraph, page 81, bottom of the page. Our design for living is not a one-way street. It is good for the wife as for the husband. If we can forget, so can she. It is better, however, that one does not needlessly name a person upon whom she can vent jealousy. So this particular paragraph is a what, for me, I consider a transitional paragraph from the preceding one to going into the next page. And because we've been dealing with step 9, it's our design for living, to me, that is our design of living the steps, is working all 12 steps, living in 11, 10, 11, and 12. And it suggests that doing the steps is not a one-way street, that when we're living and doing one, for me anyway, when I can step 10, 11, and 12 and living design for living, it involves my relationship with other people. And that relationship with other people involves my relationship with God. So in the context of this particular paragraph, at this particular time in my life, I'm not married. I haven't been in a marital relationship now for almost 30 years. But I can identify with the fact that in when you're making an amends to a spouse where there has been some infidelity, that There is some discernment and judgment that's required, as it says in the last sentence. It's better, however, that one does not needlessly name a person upon whom she can vent jealousy. In other words, if from my perspective as a woman, that if I step outside, when I have stepped outside that marriage, that I don't name the person that I was involved with. But how I relate to this paragraph today is so much different than if I was in a marriage, and it involves my friendships. And I have one particular friendship that I struggle with right now because I've done a 9-step on the relationship. I've done countless 10 steps on it. I've gone back and done a 4th on it. And it is elusive to me what the bottom line issue is. And today in reading this paragraph, I saw the word jealousy. And I think it's jealousy is something that is so subtle and weaves throughout my life anyway in very subtle ways. And I think that it's really actually at the bottom of what my feelings is towards this particular friend. So that's the power for me of doing this work, is knowing, I don't know, just reading the instructions, the big book, and it helps me every day in terms of guiding me in human relationships and where God is in those relationships. So with that, I say thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you very much, NSCH from British Columbia. All right, I'll now take a list of people who would like to share on this paragraph, but before I do, I'll remind everyone that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too, and that's even if we have to wait a while to hear from people. So who would like to share?
Britt B., New Mexico.
Britt B., New Mexico. Anyone else? Page 81, last paragraph, bottom of the page. All right, go ahead, Britt, and get us started, please.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Britt V. I live in New Mexico. I am a compulsive overeater, recovered. And reading this paragraph, what jumped out to me is the best way that I can help my partner and the other loved ones in my life, living with me and not, is something that my sponsor tells me over and over again, and that is recover, recover, recover. The more that I exist in 10, 11, 12, the more that I am accountable for my actions, the more that I do that nightly review, really take stock of my life, really apply the teachings in the big book to my life, really work the program, really serve, really be available to others. That act is what leads to an improved existence necessarily for my partner and for other people in my life. One of the wondrous things about personal transformation is that other people in our life don't have to be engaged in the same work. They don't even have to care about it. But just by proximity and by us achieving greater health and greater recovery, they necessarily benefit. And I really appreciate this paragraph because it reminds me, keep doing the work. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Britt B. from New Mexico. And who else would like to share on this short paragraph, bottom of page 81?
IVS, California.
IVS, gotcha.
Jennifer H. in Alabama.
Jennifer H., Alabama. Okay, we'll go with Ivy and Jennifer. Please go ahead, Ivy.
Did you call my name?
Yes, I did.
Okay, sorry, I was unmuting. Ivy S., California, compulsive overeater and bulimic. I've heard it said here before, and I definitely can identify this way, is that, and there's another part in the big book where it talks about alcohol was my master, and that is definitely true with the food, that it just came first for me. That's just kind of the way it was for me as a food addict, that it always came first, definitely before my husband, definitely before my family. And my dream relationship, my dream situation was where I was alone in a room binging and then purging. So there really was, you know, like my spouse, he just never had top billing. You know, it was always about the food and being consumed with the food for most of our marriage. And we tried counseling a few times, and, you know, I never came clean. I was never honest about, you know, what I was doing in my secret life, the neglect and, you know, all of that I had towards my spouse, because, you know, food always came first. And I didn't want to bring up like anything that truly bothered me about, you know, him, because then he might bring up some of my character defects, which were quite glaring, you know. So just a lot of dysfunction that I participated in. And, oh my goodness, getting in recovery, getting abstinent, and wow, how life transforming that has been, and, you know, in the steps. And looking at my part, my side of the street, you know, the harm I have caused, and then, you know, making the amends, and so much, so different, and life is so different. And today I get to do daily amends, you know, living amends. You know, food doesn't come first anymore, and I can be present. There's this one part in that paragraph where it talks about if we can forget, so can she. I wasn't thinking so much of this with my spouse, but with my daughter, making amends to her, you know, and a lot of mommy guilt with that. I'm still processing it, believe it or not. It's still, you know, 5 years later, I still, you know, have the opportunity of leaning into God. But I made amends to her, and then and she was so gracious about it, my adult daughter by now. And something, I thought of something else, and I made amends to her, and then one more thing happened, and I made amends to her again, and she said, "Mom, we already talked about this," like, you know, and her attitude was one of like, "I don't want to hear this anymore." And, you know, talking with my sponsor about it, it's like, okay, now I get to make the living amends. I need to let her be and do my part. And when it comes, you know, that remorse comes up for me as a mom, like it's an opportunity.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. It's an opportunity to get out of self and lean into my higher power that I call God, and ask for help in that way. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Ivy S. from California. Jennifer, please go ahead and share with us.
Hey, thank you. This is Jennifer H. in Alabama, and recovered in Alabama, and I'm really grateful to you guys for being here. And this paragraph, I had to look back at the one before it a little bit, and what it's reminding me of is that anonymity is the spiritual foundation. It always really struck me that anonymity is the spiritual foundation, but what exactly does that mean? And, like, here's an example of I don't need to talk about personalities or specific people, but rather the principles of what I have done wrong and what I'm trying to do better, and when I'm interacting with people. And that has been, I have really seen how that has really helped in my life, you know, so far in trying to work the program and all my affairs. it keeps it a lot simpler. And the other thing that strikes me about the paragraph is I'm in relationship with other people now. I'm not just going it alone. When I do something, it's going to involve the other person. It's not a one-way street. It's going to be interacting with somebody. And I don't know if anybody else identifies with that, but that's a big deal for me. I got together with my husband while we were both bad in the disease, in anorexia and overeating and everything that comes along with it, which y'all know about the body dysmorphism, the exercise, everything that comes along with our disease. And now we're divorced. And so that makes many years, 12 plus, since I have ever started, even tried to think about a relationship. So other things in my life that I have done in recovery have been so much better with checking in and asking God to guide me and following the principles outlined in this book. And I know this one can too, but I have to really remember to stop and do these things along the way. And the thing that's really jumping out at me here is, you know, and before it said if in the past we've been wild or something. Well, I was completely lost when I was in the disease about how to have a relationship with somebody. And I did hurt people and do the wrong thing and hate myself and blame myself and beat up on myself for years. But now what's striking me about this is I can find a way to communicate, and that's the most important thing, is to share. Sharing with you guys has been the solution. Sharing in a general way, while with somebody who will understand but not be affected, which would probably be my sponsor to help know what I'm supposed to say, and then with the person, it just gives me a lot of hope. So I'm really grateful to you guys for being here, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jennifer H. from Alabama. Okay, in case you've just come on the line, we are on page 81, the second paragraph, which is at the bottom of the page. Our design for living is not a one-way street. Who else would like to share on that paragraph?
Metris J.
Metris J.
And Janice P.M.
Janice P.M.
Mm-hmm. T-Ferret B.
Who's that?
T-Ferret. T-I-F-E-R-E-T B in Boston.
T-I-F-E-R-E-T. T-Ferret and B as in boy?
Yes.
Okay, great. Gotcha, T-Ferret.
Linda G. in Alabama.
Linda G. Alabama.
Liz S. in Oregon.
Liz S. in Oregon. Okay, great. Let's go with that group. Metris, Janice, T-Ferret, Linda G. and Liz S. Please go ahead, Metris.
Thank you. This is Metris J. from Michigan. Thank you for your service and very glad to be here. What brought out for me the reading is that what came to mind was one of the traditions where it talks about, I think it's tradition 11, where it talks about this is action rather than promotion. So that means that I work my program to the best of my ability, keeping the focus on myself, and just maybe my family would see something in me that would make them want it. And most of my family, most of them, a lot of them, have diabetes and is overweight, have a lot of health issues, and it's not up to me to say they're a compulsive overeater, but they do have a problem with food. And so my thing has always been, you know, you shouldn't eat that. That's not good for you. You should do this. You should do that. It never works. It never works. And I can't tell adult people, whether they're my loved ones and family or not, what to do. Only thing I can be is an example. And maybe, just maybe, they will see it and maybe they won't. But that's not up to me. That's up to a higher power. But what is up to me is to be responsible for myself, that I work this program to the best of my ability. And it can be a ripple effect. You know, that's why that tradition is there. You know, attraction, not promotion. So I'm like a walking, living 12-step program, if I keep the focus on myself. So that's why I keep coming back. We had a birthday party here, lots of stuff here, and I set an example. I set an example. I didn't have that stuff. And that's what's so great about this program. Keep coming back and more will be revealed. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Mitris J. from Michigan. Janice, PM, please go ahead.
Thank you so much, Jody, and that you, of course, would kindly time me. Yeah, my name is Janice PM, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. Now, this particular paragraph is teaching me and us that we're in the domestic affairs of a family and of living. And it includes, you know, infidelity. And it says our design for living. Well, what is our design for living? I believe I can say it's not only physical, but more and more that it's a spiritual life. So we have to, in these moral matters, I believe we have to have either a spiritual advisor I think it's a must to have a sponsor who has gone through this or knows a little bit about it. And of course, a God to help with this drastic step, because it is drastic, because they're talking about it. You know, if there was infidelity with the wife, it's a two-way street. And if it's infidelity with the husband, you know, each one of us have to forgive each other. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I know that with my experience, I can't allow this offense of either one of us to pass without punishment, because then I'll be harboring, or they'll be harboring a resentment. So really, to forgive here is to excuse for the fault of the offense and grant pardon. But I have to pray for that, because this is a spiritual life. This is what they're teaching me. And, you know, we have to have tight lips. It suggests that we don't name the person. You know, you might say, who was it? Or, you know, I wanna go to her, or whatever it is. Because I know from experience that jealousy is the worst emotion in a relationship. It constitutes a death in the family. And it really is. You know, and it causes other people for further damage. So we're really stealing. We're really selfish. Whereas I dishonest, it's like a thief. And it's a very bad emotion. And that's why I have to pray. And there's certain prayers that I would say, help me, God, to consider others before I take any actions that would cause me to be sorry and help me not to repeat such behavior. Spiritual life, I have to ask the God of my understanding for strength.
Gentle reminder?
Yes, and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the consequences may be. That's an amen. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Janice PM from Massachusetts. Tiferet B, please go ahead.
Thanks so much. This is Tiferet B from Boston, technically Framingham, compulsive overeater, sugar addict. And thank you to everyone who's doing service and to everyone who's already shared. It's such a rich meeting and just a few words from our big book. Yeah, so in looking at this small, this paragraph, it made me think of two things. You know, the first is, you know, the design for living. And for me, that just reminded me that food is never the problem. It's always a life problem. And there's something that I'm using the food to address. The food then becomes my answer. And it's always a life issue. And thank God we have this program that gives us these very concrete tools like calling into a meeting, learning and reading our literature together, that help us address and get wisdom for how do we deal with these life problems? How do we do a 10th step or 11th step, figuring out how do we mine the problems that we're facing and find our responsibilities in them? And how do we do that with our connection to a higher power that we're constantly tending instead and using the steps to give us the ease and comfort that we used to get from food? So I found that really meaningful, and I'm going to take that away from this gathering this morning. And the other thing was, you know, if we can forget, so can she. And, you know, I think that we talk a lot in this program about how we do this work in order to heal, in order to forgive others. We 10 steps so we're not holding on to any resentments, because resentment is the number one offender for us, right? Like, if we're holding on to things, yeah, we will die. We will die over them. And we work really hard to be able to forgive other people. And in instances like this, we also have to forgive ourselves and extend to us the same grace that we extend to others. And in my experience, forgiveness is not a one-time event. It happens for a while. You know, to see whom I have forgiven or who has forgiven me, and to not be triggered into that emotional state every time I encounter that person takes work. And it takes remembering that forgiveness is real. Right, and just like I, you know, someone else said, you know, we've already talked about this. We already made that amends. We can trust the power of that amends, and we can keep trusting it and keep trusting it until it no longer activates us. And I think that's
a reminder.
Thank you so much. And that is the power of this design of living for me. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Tiferet B from Massachusetts. Linda G, it's your turn.
Thank you. I'm Linda G in Alabama, a recovering compulsive overeater and anorexic. And this paragraph reminded me how lucky I am to have a really supportive husband who watches me go through my program work and doesn't take it personally. He doesn't hold on to the hurts I have and the pains I have through growing. And for the last 3 months, I've been going through a really hard time. And I've been waiting eagerly for a doctor's appointment that I had yesterday, hoping to hear something that would help me. And this doctor didn't know what to say to me. All he said to me was, "Congratulations, I think you're doing really well." He was like lost. And it blew me away. I had been counting on him for some feedback, and he did not know what to say to me. And my husband said to me, "I think he was just in over his head." And I had to agree with my husband. He just did not know what to talk to me about in regards to an eating disorder. And he's a psychiatrist. I thought for sure he'd have some input. And fortunately, my husband had some. And it just... waiting so long to hear something that would help me. And it came from my husband and not from my doctor. And my husband really supports my program, and he's listened to me work through issues with my two ex-husbands and not take it personally. And it's helped me not eat over the mistakes I've made and stay out of the food. And learn from the hurts I've caused and avoid
a reminder.
Thank you. And avoid making those mistakes again. Thank you very much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Linda G. from Alabama. Liz S. from Oregon, please go ahead.
My name is Liz S. from Oregon, and I am a recovered compulsive eater. I'm listening to the shares, and I'm very amazed at the people who have been able to work through this paragraph without confusion, because I find this paragraph extremely confusing. It talks about the first sentence, "Our design for living is not a one-way street." That I understand in a relationship with my husband. I've been married 35 years. You've got a give and take. You know, there's a lot of that going on. I think each person has to give 60% because 10% gets lost in translation. But the next sentence, "It is as good for the wife as for the husband." I appreciate that, but I don't quite, I mean, I appreciate that in terms of each person has to give 60% at least. But the next sentence throws me off. "If he can forget, so can she." I find that confusing. Does that sentence mean that he went outside the marriage and not she, and he is supposed to forget his guilty actions? And so is she? Or does it mean that she has also had an infidelity in the marriage? She cheated on her husband. And so can he forget her cheating? I just find the sentence very confusing. I do agree with the last sentence. It's better, however, that one does not needlessly name a person upon whom she can vent jealousy. That goes back who she can vent jealousy. If he's the one with the quote unquote bad deed, then I think it's kind of unfair to say that, oh, it's easy for him to forget, but it's as easy for her. I need to think about this for a while because that doesn't seem like a satisfactory answer to me. And so I got to work on this a while and listen some more. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, Liz S. from Oregon. We have time for two or three more shares. Who else would like to share?
Joan Marie M.
Joan Marie M. This is your chance. If you seldom share, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you've never shared before. All right, go ahead, Joan Marie. We'll come back.
Elizabeth A.
Oh, who is that?
Elizabeth A., Michigan.
Elizabeth A. Okay, great. Let's go with Joan Marie and Elizabeth. Go ahead, Joan Marie.
Good morning. This is Joan Marie M., recovered in Nevada by the grace and power of God. Wow. You know, I was just text my sponsor this morning. You know, I'm not really relating to all this. It's so far in the past. But when I listened and heard the different shares, enlightenment comes again. And it's a design for living. This is the way I'm to live. I had a living problem. And I used food to cope because I didn't know how to have a relationship. Every relationship I had, I was broken, they were broken. And so, you know, today it's a design for living in every area of my life. If I've done a wrong, I make amends. I admit it to God first. I pray about it, and then I go to that person. It's very simple, but it's not easy. It's a hard thing to look at ourselves, to look at the past. But today I can look at the past and not regret anything because I did what I needed to do, and I will continue to do that as long as I keep in step with God. It is a spiritual program. And I am to walk a higher ground, a higher level. Not that I'm better than anybody else, but that's God's way. It's higher. You know, when they say you can't have a resentment, why? Because that kills me, not the other person. They may never even know about it. So, you know, it's a higher level, a higher ground, more to speak. You know, we're going up the ladder. We're going up the steps, one step at a time. And we're learning more and more about this program, about the disease, and about a power greater than ourselves. This is a glorious program, and it really does work. But that's the key, work. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you for all your shares. And I pass.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Elizabeth A., please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. This is Elizabeth A. in Michigan, and I often struggle to share. What a good day to share, right, when I struggle. I've been in program since 1986, and it has been a slow, gradual climb. I don't like the word recovered. I still kind of cringe, but God has been gracious to me. And my last binge was in 2016. I had a one-day break in my abstinence, one day at a time. When I start counting I put myself back in charge and I put myself back in supervision mode, and I don't need to supervise God. This reading and on relationship is just really for me poignant, because I've been married going on 36 years. Miraculously, we've had some pretty volatile times, and it has been a slow climb. What I noted is that when I spend time with God, the God of my understanding, it's like a spiritual mirror. And when I'm willing enough to open, as someone said, my heart flaps, the Lord shows me where I need to grow and areas that I'm falling short, and not in a condemnation, a way of condemnation. Years ago, I read something, and I'm not much of a reader, but I read this, opened a book, Marriage is to Make Me Holy, Not Happy. And, oh my goodness, probably one of the most difficult, tedious, and ongoing, persevering relationships. And I think I've shared this analogy before. This recovery has been for me like a kaleidoscope, where the picture just shifts gradually. My changes are typically gradual, and that has been tedious. And I need God's help, and I need other people, and I need the rigorous honesty. And there are days that I want to just, you know, fall back and rest, but I'm like a little boat. I'm either going downstream or I'm paddling. And so just for today, I'm going to continue to paddle. Thank you for all those on my journey with me, and bless you all with a beautiful day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth A. from Michigan. We have just less than a minute, if anybody wants to jump in quickly.
Hey, Jody, it's Dana P. How are you?
Good. Hi, Dana.
Excellent, excellent. I've been listening to these lovely shares on the paragraph and the paragraphs that have come before. It's been wonderful. One of the things that I was taught early on by a sponsor in a different program was to put things into the first person. So I did it on both. You know, I put my name where it says wife. I read the paragraph. I put my name where it said husband. I read the paragraph. And it was quite powerful for me. And what I realized, and the part about who should forget and who should remember, I'm the dog with the bone. You know, the person who I make amends to, nothing to them. It means something to me. Specifically for my sister, I had to go back and make a couple amends. And every now and then I keep thinking I need to make amends to her again. And she's so over it, I'm the one that's obsessing. That's the second part of our step one, right? That obsession of the mind, if you will, that compulsion to hold on to all that negativity, whatever it is. And what is that selfishness? It's so that I can be right. And I think I love what the person shared about the jealousy. You know, it's just, it's all jealousy. And what I do in one relationship, I do in all my relationships. It may be glaring in one, but and or subtle in another. But I have to look at my, not part, I have to look at where I'm 100% responsible for that division that I create between myself and God's kids. So I'm going to pass with that. Thanks so much, Jody.
Everybody, thank you very much. Thank you, Dana P. from California. All right. Thank you, everyone, for a great meeting. And thank you to Team Thursday for this wonderful service during the month of February. Appreciate you all. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Margaret D. please read for us?
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.